Welcome to the Pneuma Church podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we're so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we all grow deeper in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy the message.
I know everyone's had a massive week this week, right? Beck talked about it. I had it here to talk about. So clearly there's a theme going on there. And that's why it's surprisingly easy for us as faithful, well-meaning believers to drift from our relationship with God. Because our relationship should be marked by devotion and peace, but instead we move it into a routine where we're constantly doing work for God, but no longer resting in Him. Clearly, we all need to slow down, take a minute and come to God more in our lives. Today, I want us to see that the Spirit-led life is not about doing more for God. It's about being drawn upward into a deeper communion with the Father. From a place of prayer, rest, and love, the Spirit reshapes what we carry, what we lay down, and how we serve Him. So we see this in Luke chapter 10, in the story of Mary and Martha. Mary sat at Jesus' feet and listened to Him while Martha was distracted by the dinner prep before eventually asking, complaining something, Jesus to get Mary to help her. There was nothing wrong with serving. There was nothing wrong with preparing the food that needed to be done. But when Martha asked, Jesus made it clear that she had become anxious, she had become distracted, while Mary had chosen what was better in the moment. The issue was not work versus worship. It was whether the work had displaced attentive communion with Jesus. I heard a question long ago that I ask myself when I am asked to do work around the church, when I look at stuff that I need to do outside, and I try and use it to help balance what I get myself into. Because I believe through asking this question, God talks to me. The question is one that I encourage each of you to start asking if you're not already in your life, in your prayer life. And that question is this thing I'm being asked to do a good thing or is it a God thing? Right? Because there are lots of good things out there. But it doesn't mean that God's asking you to carry them. That assignment that you're contemplating doing, it might actually be for someone else, right? Or maybe it's simply something that needs to happen at a later season in your life. You know, maybe now is not the right time. And to identify this, we really need the Spirit's wisdom. Preparing this sermon took a lot longer than it should have, to be honest. I was a bit of a Martha. There were plenty of times when I should have been preparing, and I had to organize other things. I did some work around the house. I did the dishes. I was getting dinner ready. And I kept on finding myself getting ready for bed and thinking about preparing a sermon while getting ready for bed. And that's not very good. I know that we're all busy people. So I know that most of you, if not all of you, understand exactly what I'm saying when I say that. I know that you all want to be better Christians. You wouldn't be here if you didn't. And I know that you want to study God's word more, to talk with Him more, or to do something that you know that He is asking you to do. But I also know that like me, you probably are all struggling to find that time. Ironically, I decided I was going to try and get a bit fitter this year. And I've realized that when pushing into God is a bit like exercise. We know it's going to benefit us in the long run, even if it is only a walk around the block. And I say that and watch my wife because she tries to get me around the block all the time and I don't like it. But it does take precious time from something else that we look at and go, I could be doing that instead. My day job is a continuous improvement manager. And what that means for those of you who don't know is it means that A lot of project managers will deliver one, maybe two massive projects in a year. My job is to deliver several small projects every month, with the plan being that by the end of the year, all those small projects add up to a large positive impact on the organisation. And when I started moving into this role, I came across this motivational proverb that I love because it really sums up my job. And it was strange, actually, when God brought this into my thought process while I was preparing for today, because the proverb is, how do you eat an elephant? And the answer is, one bite at a time. Right? The Holy Spirit calling us upward to closer communion with the Father is a little like eating an elephant, because a deep and mature relationship with the Father can just seem so impossible when we sit and we look at what that means. But if we only look at that end goal, we will always wonder whether we can reach it, and we will see it as out of reach for us. However, the Holy Spirit does not ask us to produce perfection in our own strength. He invites us to begin where God is calling us to begin. 2 minutes in prayer, a moment of surrender, a simple act of obedience. It could be tithing, or a daily choice to return to the Father's presence. The starting place is going to be different for every one of us, because He created us each individually. No two of us are the same. What is the same, however, is the end goal, and that is a closer and deeper relationship with God. He wants us to become more like Jesus with each day that passes, and that begins with prayer. Prayer is not simply another spiritual task to add to your already full life. It is the place where we receive the strength, the love, and the direction we so desperately need from God. Paul captures this beautifully in his prayer to the Ephesians believers, which is why I believe Ephesians 3 matters so much for us. Paul does not give overloaded believers a productivity system. That would be my job. He prays that the Spirit would strengthen them inwardly, so Christ would dwell deeply in their hearts. The answer to spiritual busyness is not simply better time management. It is deeper dependence on God. So now let's look at Ephesians 3. Verses 14 to 19 says, "When I think of all this, I fall to my knees and pray to the Father, the creator of everyone in heaven and on earth. I pray that from His glorious, unlimited resources, He will empower you with His inner strength through His Spirit. Then Christ will make His home in your hearts as you trust in Him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep His love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to fully understand. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God." Paul wrote this letter while he was in prison, not when he was out gallivanting around the world. Yet he does not pray first for physical freedom. He doesn't pray for outward success in his life. He prays that the believers that he's writing this letter to would be strengthened, inwardly strengthened by the Spirit and rooted more deeply in God's love. Paul begins by bowing before the Father and acknowledging God's greatness. He then asks that the Spirit would do a deep work in the inner being of those who receive the letter, so that Christ would dwell in their hearts through faith. He prays that they would grasp and experience the vast love of Christ, and that through that love, they would be filled with all the fullness of God. True spiritual growth is not about performing more for God. It is about letting the Spirit draw us upward and deeper into the Father's heart. And I think this is where Paul's prayer becomes so important for us today. Because if we're honest, most of us know what it feels like to be surrounded by noise, pressure, deadlines, screens, family, work, and church responsibilities, and endless opportunities to do good things. But Paul is reminding us that the answer is not simply to become busier for God. The answer is to be strengthened by the Spirit of God. Before God calls us to carry more, he calls us to be rooted more deeply in his love. Before he asks us to do more, he invites us to know him more. And when Christ is truly at home in your hearts, prayer stops being one of the things we are trying to squeeze into our already full days. It becomes the place where we are renewed. It becomes the place where we are reminded who we belong to. And it becomes the place where God gently reshapes our priorities, our decisions, and the way we serve others. So let's remember that it's not about trying harder in our own strength. Let's learn to pause to listen and to let the love of God lead us as we become more intimate with him. So as we look more closely at the meaning behind the scripture, we understand more of how the Spirit leads us upward into greater communion with God. I could delve into this in a lot of detail, but you probably all want to get lunch. So let me just pull a few things out of this and hope, and I hope and pray that as you listen, as you hear, that this might prompt you to look at this and look at other scripture more deeply for yourself. So verse 14 begins, when I think of all this, and it's a great question. What does that even mean? What is all this that Paul is referring to? And to answer that, we need to look back earlier at the earlier chapters in Ephesians, and especially earlier in Ephesians 3, because there Paul explains that God revealed a long hidden mystery. And this is like everything for us. The mystery was that Gentile believers are now equal heirs alongside Israel in the one body of Christ. He also describes his imprisonment as part of his calling. Is being stressed at work, is being persecuted part of your calling maybe. He sees himself as a humble servant commissioned to preach the limitless riches of Christ to the nations. Paul continues verse 14 with, I fall to my knees and pray. Which, some of us were on our knees praying this morning. It sounds simple enough until you understand Jewish culture. Because the standard posture for prayer is standing. It's not kneeling. Kneeling was a sign of intense emotion, deep reverence, submission, or absolute urgency. So he's calling us to our knees to pray. And he finishes with the verse to the Father. Not to God, not to King, not to the King of Kings, all which would have been appropriate. But only the term Father invokes that feeling of close intimacy. And we cannot begin to view God in the right way as a loving heavenly Father if we see him as a distant King. In the remaining verses, Paul speaks about the Holy Spirit empowering us, growing deep roots in us and giving us power to understand God's love. This is because true communion with God requires internal strength. The deeper you fellowship with your Father, the more transparent your life will become. And this in turn demands greater honesty, vulnerability, and consistent presence. Human willpower and emotions are limited and prone to fail. So the Holy Spirit strengthens our inner being, allowing us through leaning on him to withstand the external pressures that come without losing that relational intimacy we are building with God. And we also need to remember that fellowship with God, we do not initiate that in our own strength. Right? It's the Holy Spirit who stirs up our affection, who resists our human tendency towards performance. Our tendency is to try our own in all areas of our life. It's what we're taught from a young age. And so that overflows to even when we're coming before God. God, on the other hand, wants our communion with him to be Spirit-led. When we are not Spirit-led, it is easy to drift into outward performance instead of inward communion. We see Jesus confront this in the Gospels with religious leaders who were focused on appearances and missed the heart of God. He wants us to come to him as a child to a father. He wants us to come to him in the spirit. And he wants us to never forget our first love. We need to come to him as children with humility, trust, and dependence. As it says in Galatians 4:6, and because you are sons, God has sent the spirit of his son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Matthew 18:2-4 reinforces this posture of humility. This is Jesus talking. Well, not quite yet. Jesus called the little child to him and put the child among them. And then he said, I tell you the truth, unless you turn from your sins and become like little children, you will never get into the kingdom of heaven. So anyone who becomes as humble as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Becoming as a child is just the start. For as our fellowship with the Father grows, we will begin to live by the Spirit, walking with him every moment of our lives. In Galatians 5, it says, if we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. And we see this also in Ephesians 3:17 that I read earlier, which says, then Christ will make his home in your hearts. As you trust in him, your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. It is God's love that we should yearn for more than anything. We need to keep alive our first love as we grow in Christ, never forgetting the love that he drew us to him in the first place, and always ensuring that love is not merely an emotion we feel. It is the soil in which our life is planted and the foundation that we stand. We see this in Ephesians 3:17 that I just read out. This is also supported by a very well-known scripture, 1 Corinthians 13:13, that says, three things will last forever, faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. The concept of Christ growing in your heart is a very important one because he wants to be a permanent resident there, not just a guest and not a visitor. Paul makes this point with his word choice in Ephesians 3:17, where he uses a Greek word, katokeo, which means to settle down and make a permanent home. He could have used the word parakeo, but that means to visit like a hotel guest. And that is not what God wants. So in using the word katokeo, Paul is saying that Jesus does not want to be treated like a visitor who comes and goes. He wants to settle in. He wants to belong there, and he wants to shape the whole house of our lives. The Spirit calling us upward is part of this, because as we respond through seeking him and invite him in more, we are placing increasing faith in his unfinished work in our lives. It is the Holy Spirit in our hearts that acts as a spotlight. He doesn't draw attention to himself. Instead, he shines his light into the beauty, mercy, and presence of Jesus in our daily lives. He also reveals the improvement that we need and points to Christ, who has the perfect improvement plan for our lives. The work of highlighting and revealing God, revealing comes from God. We know this because Jesus promised that the Spirit would not speak on his own, but would take what belongs to Christ and reveal it to us, as it says in John 16:13-15, where it says, when the Spirit comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own, but will tell you what he has heard. He will tell you about the future. He will bring me glory by telling you whatever he receives from me. All that belongs to the Father is mine. This is why I've said, the Spirit will tell you whatever he receives from me. Through this, the Spirit turns theological concepts about Christ into dynamic lived experiences in his presence in our lives. So the challenge to us is to ask ourselves whether Jesus is an occasional visitor, or is he someone that is going to live in and have full access to every room of your heart. And that question matters more fully. And that question matters because the more fully Christ is welcomed into every room of our hearts, the more deeply rooted in the love Paul describes we become. This is why Paul does not simply pray that we would know God's love in theory, but that we would grasp just how wide, yes, how long, how high, and how deep it truly is. Yeah. Paul says that our roots are to grow down into God's love, and that love will keep us strong. I love the way that Paul holds two pictures here in this, the words he uses. He gives us the image of a tree with roots pushing down deep into the soil, and he gives us the image of a building established on a strong foundation. Both images are about security. And as we know, a tree with shallow roots, when the wind comes, a weakness will be revealed. And similarly with a building, you can have the most amazing building on the outside, but if the foundations are poured wrong or not built correctly, pressure will eventually expose the problem. In the same way, our spiritual security cannot be anchored in how we feel or how well we performed this week or how passionate our emotions were this morning, even in church. Our security must be anchored in the unchanging love of God. If the band wants to come up. So this matters because the feelings are real, but they are not always reliable. There are days when you will feel close to God, and there are days when prayer will feel dry. There are moments when worship will come easily, and there are moments when you will wonder why you are struggling so much. But Paul does not pray that the Ephesians will be rooted in their feelings about God. He prays that they will be rooted and established in God's love for them. And that is a very different anchor. The Spirit-led life is not built on the strength of my grip on God. It is built on the strength of His love holding me. Then Paul prays that we would have the power to understand how wide, how long, how high, and how deep the love of Christ is. His love is wide enough to embrace every person that comes to Him. It reaches beyond your background, your age, any failures that have happened in your life, your personality, your history, your culture, and whatever disqualifying label you choose to put on yourself. His love is wide enough to embrace you through that. His love is also long enough to stretch from before the foundation of the world to eternity. It's not going to run out halfway through your life. Yeah. It's going to keep going. And it doesn't expire when you have a bad week. His love is there just waiting for you to call back on Him. His love is high enough to lift us out of sin, to lift us out of shame, striving, and spiritual coldness that may be in our lives, into communion with the Father and the perfect love that we will feel in that place. And His love is deep enough to reach into the darkest places. Beck shared about her grief, others' anxiety, disappointment, exhaustion, failure, and other hidden pain that we carry. His love will reach down and pull you up if you'll let Him. And then Paul says something that sounds almost impossible. He prays that we would know the love of Christ, even though it is too great for us to understand fully. So in other words, this is not simply information to file away in our heads. It is not a doctrine to agree with or a phrase to repeat. It is a love we are invited to experience. A child may not be able to explain the chemistry of food or even what ingredients went into something, but they can tell you when they're fed and they can tell you whether it tastes good. Me, you, other adults, we may not be able to explain the engineering details that go behind a bridge or a building, but we know when it's strong enough to hold us up. In the same way, we may never be able to measure the full love of Christ, but by the Spirit, we can learn to rest in it, to return to it and to live from it. Romans 8, 38 to 39 says this with such strength and assurance. It says, "And I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love. Neither death nor life, nor angels nor demons, neither our fears for today nor our worries about tomorrow. Not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or in the earth below. Indeed, nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord." That means present fears cannot separate you from Him. Future unknowns cannot separate you from Him. Your weakness, weariness, your imperfect prayer life, my imperfect prayer life, your failures and your questions are not stronger than the love of the Father revealed through Jesus Christ. So let me ask you this. And I want you to just sit and think about this for a moment. And that is that when trials or failures come, do you doubt God's love? Or do you run to it as your anchor? The Father is not inviting you into a fragile love that disappears when you struggle. He is inviting you to be rooted and established in a love that is wider, longer, higher, and deeper than you can fully comprehend, but real enough to hold you today. This is not only something to understand, but something to respond to as the Holy Spirit speaks to us. And so today, before we rush back into the noise and demands of life, let us remember what the Spirit has been calling us upward into. He is not simply calling us to do more, try harder, or carry every good thing that appears in front of us. He is calling us back to the Father, back to prayer, back to surrendered trust, and back to a love that is strong enough to hold us, whether we feel strong or we feel weak. The Spirit-led life begins as we stop striving in our own strength and allows Christ to be fully at home in our hearts. From that place, we can ask with honesty, what God is asking us to carry. What is He asking us to lay down? And where He invites us to stop and rest in Him. And as we do rest, we can be assured that His love is not fragile, temporary, or dependent on our performance. It is wide enough, long enough, high enough, and deep enough to anchor us today and every day that follows. So in closing, I just want to leave you with the final few thoughts. The Father is inviting each one of us into His presence today. The Holy Spirit is in this place. I can say that with certainty. And He is prompting the hearts of each one of us, whispering, "Abba, Father." He is calling you to come out of your routine and pressure of trying to spiritually perform. He is calling you back into intimate communion with Him, our loving God and Father. And if you're new to faith, this begins not by proving yourself to God, because you can't. It begins by trusting Jesus, who has already opened the way to the Father for you. He is calling you to listen for God's prompting and ask, what area of my life or what areas of my life do I need to stop striving? Do I need to start resting in the Father's love? So if the Holy Spirit is showing you an area where you have been striving, where you feel like you've been carrying too much or doubting the Father's love, this is the moment to bring that to Him. Are you willing to stop, to pray, to wait, and to listen for Him and grow in Him more?
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. And we realize that not everyone has had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. And for this reason, in all of our services and platforms, we want to extend to you the opportunity to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have been created for a relationship with God. However, sin, which is essentially disobedience, independence, and disbelief, or us simply missing the mark, entered the world and separated us from God. Romans chapter 6 verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death. And a debt was owed, and the Bible tells us that He, Jesus, demonstrated His love for us that while we were still sinners, He died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life." God so loved the world that He gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in Him will be saved. All that is required of anyone is that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven, made right, and given the right to become children of God and to have life forevermore with Him. Today, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. To believe in Him is to simply to respond with faith in our hearts and confess with our mouths that He is Lord. And we do that through a simple prayer. Follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that You are the Son of God. I thank You that You love me and came to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old way of life and I turn to follow You. I receive the free gift of eternal life and I ask that You fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live a life of following after You. I thank You that I am born again as a child of God and that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you and connect you to your next step and the local church in your area. You can contact us on our website at newmar.church. Thanks for listening.